Members, I'll call the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration to order, and the clerk will note the roll. A quorum is present. Members, Representative Howes, my good friend from Walker, Minnesota, will move the minutes from the meeting on Thursday, February 19th.
I would have excellent minutes.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Members, I will move the proposed calendar for the day for Thursday, February 26, 2009. Any discussion on the calendar? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. 2-1. Steve Simon and I both voted yes, and nobody else voted. And you voted yes?
I voted for it.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about the time parameters for both bills, since there are two bills on the calendar, and we're going to be in for approximately 1.5 hours. I propose a 45 minutes for House File 598 and 45 minutes for House File 334. And I will move that. Any discussion on both parameters? Representative Cipher.
I don't know of anything relating to 598. I think there may be one or two amendments on the other bill, but I've got to check with members and staff. I certainly would think it sounds reasonable, but
okay. And certainly Representative Seifert.
Generous, actually, for what I can see the bills relate to.
Right, and Representative Seifert, if, say, for example, the first bill takes 5 minutes, we'll just take the rest of the session time for the second bill. All those in favor of the proposed parameters signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Members, we're going to now move to the proposed amendments to the permanent House rules. There were four amendments that were moved by the House as a whole to the committee. We reached out to all four of the makers of the amendments and asked if they would like to be included in this discussion. Two were in agreement and two declined to move their amendments forward. So we're going to take the two that would like to have their proposed changes discussed today. The first one is Representative Hoberg. So if you'd like to come to the front table, I will move PM Rules 43 for discussion. Representative Hoberg, welcome to the Rules Committee, and would you please discuss your proposed rule change for the committee?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee, and I appreciate the being given a time to discuss this in the Rules Committee. I'm thinking back. I think the last time I was in Rules was when I was carrying a constitutional amendment a number of years ago, and there were certainly more people interested in that issue than what we have here in front of us today. Basically, what this amendment would have done is it would have allowed for the setting of the budget targets on the House floor to afford all members the ability to amend the spending levels to the various spending categories, as opposed to it just being done in ways and means. It used to be done this way. The rationale for it, especially in this budget situation, is that really the budget targets are the first step of defining the priorities of spending areas of the state budget process. And I believe a more inclusive process in which all House members have the ability to amend or get their say, if you will, in setting amounts is more appropriate than it being done in the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. Discussion to the Hoberg amendment. Representative Hoberg.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hoberg, you said that we need to have everybody involved in the discussion of the ways that are the budget resolution. I couldn't agree with you more. For setting up a process of having everybody, both Republicans and Democrats, be able to have input into that target setting. And additionally, as you well know, we're trying our best to get the public involved in those discussions as well. One of the things about being able to have it in the Ways and Means Committee, you can, if you want, have the opportunity to call witnesses on a particular proposal. That doesn't happen on the House floor. If I recall right, a couple of years ago, when we were not in charge, it was the House floor could either reject or accept, but couldn't amend as well. And we had two budgets that we didn't know what to do with. I don't think that's necessarily the way we want to go. We want to have as much open public testimony as possible on it, and I think setting it in the committee is the proper place to have that function.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Fulberg.
Representative Fulberg, can you explain to us what your process will be for getting input from the all members and setting these budget targets?
Representative Fulberg.
Mr. Chair and Representative Fulberg, I'm trying my best to establish a mechanism of being able to meet with both the minority members and majority members separately of each of the budget finance committees. That means it's about 20 meetings I'm trying to set up. We'll try our best to do that in a timely fashion. Some of them were set up, as Representative Magnus knows, he showed up in my office, I think, and we had to do some rescheduling of them. But that's one of the ways we're going to be trying our best to listen to everybody in a very open fashion, both publicly and then also to make sure that the minority members have a good input into the budget process. Additionally, of course, when it comes before the committee, the minority can offer an amendment and have it discussed in there.
And Mr. Representative Fulberg, and I appreciate that, but the process whereby you will meet with the different spending divisions individually basically sets up a silo approach, if you will, and that very likely the majority of the members in each of those spending areas are going to come in and say, don't cut me, save this, save that. And it's really not a total picture in that weighing the priorities from one spending area to another. And so while I appreciate your efforts in having 20 or so meetings, I will be very surprised if those meetings are not focused to those particular spending areas and lack the balance of the entire budget that comes with setting targets across the whole budget spectrum in the state, and the ability for people to make amendments. Certainly the public process could still be accommodated through the Ways and Means Committee, but the final budget targets being sent on the floor again would do away with that silo approach and allow for a comprehensive discussion, weighing priorities of the different areas against each other and allowing the whole body to vote.
President Carlson.
Chairman, just a comment. If I read this, and perhaps the author of the amendment, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are times, both you were in the majority, and when we have been in recent years, you do have to make adjustments. You have problems that surface, and we've been able to do that in ways and means. And what I was thinking of is when you mentioned silo. But you may have a problem that you need to resolve one way or another, and I'll do that very efficiently, taking those minor adjustments. I don't think any of them are real major when bills are coming forward that needed to be acted upon. And I don't know if it's
I guess my comment to that is sometimes efficiency allows for lack of sunshine, if you will, and there were a number of budget adjustments that were made in the last legislative session in which we had very little lead time and there wasn't an ability for the public to weigh in. To do it on the floor would at least give you some heads up that it was coming and the ability to work with that. Yes, it'd be somewhat more cumbersome, but I think we'd end up with a better result.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the motion is before us again for passage of the temporary or the PM rules 43. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail.
Mr. Chair, thank you again for your time and considering this.
Thank you, Representative Fulberg.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Fulberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fulberg is the lead on the Ways and Means Committee, and I want to compliment her. She's been very receptive, and we've had pretty good communication. I communicate with her as soon as I know something, and I will continue that as well in the future.
We in the minority appreciate that, and maybe you might, if you might extend the courtesy of letting me know your schedule of when you're meeting with the various finance areas so that I might be a part of that as well. Sure. I would appreciate that.
Representative Goldberg, you do have a great reputation around here, and the majority or minority of having a good open line of communication, and that is appreciated.
All right. Thank you very much.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, Representative Goldberg, there was a initiative Representative Coles introduced on budget resolution relating to overall expenditures and revenues. I believe he was going to bring it up yesterday, but we didn't have time to get to it, apparently. Are you planning, when you have your Ways and Means Committee meeting, to talk about these issues with the overall budget resolution and then the sub-targets? Can I let Representative Coles know, maybe even save some floor time, that you'd be welcome him in to explain his budget resolution at a hearing, potentially?
Representative Goldberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Seifert, I've had a couple of conversations with Representative Coles on that, and if you look at Rule 4.03, I think it is, which is the rule that governs the Ways and Means Committee, the Rule 4.03 has two or three different sections that need to be taken in the totality. And one of them is the overall budget, budget reserve, cash flow account, and then a target for each of the particular divisions. And I've indicated to him if he wants to have the overall budget and the cash flow account and the budget reserve and the targets established within his resolution, I'd be more than happy to look at that. But to have just part of it is, in my opinion, not fulfilling the whole obligation that's in within the Ways and Means Committee. He just has a part of, I think, one or two of those particular steps. So in order to have a meaningful hearing on that resolution, you have to have the whole of the resolution and not just part of it. So I've indicated that to him. I've not indicated that to him in writing. I've indicated it to him in person that we'd look forward to the whole total part of this targets as well.
Mr. Chair, as a follow-up for my members who are interested in this budget target setting input, will you have a memo of some sort so people can't just do, here's what, the spending freeze or revenues, expenditures that you would like to have if someone comes in, you'd like to have them to have a comprehensive target rather than just the half of a target?
Mr. Chair, Representative Stafford, I can do that in memo form. I have talked personally with Representative Coles about that, but if you want me to do that in writing, I think that's appropriate for me to do, respond to him in writing.
Representative Stafford.
Mr. Chair, I think if we could all have the membership of the legislature or the House at least informed about this, I think it would be helpful because I do have some other members who are interested in doing, I think, some portion of 4.03, but if you lay it out now, if you're going to be involved in this, I want a full totality and not just a little, I don't want the overall numbers because that's pretty easy to do, frankly, to just throw that out there. But then once you get down to the division level, I think it gets to be more of a challenge for some folks. And that way, if they want to get involved in this, I think it'd be nice to know now. I'm guessing you're going to be doing this about a month from now, and that give them some lead time to get working.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative
Seifert, that what we've done in the past, and if you recall a couple of years ago, we had a hearing that was scheduled, and I think Representative Tom Emmers brought in the total package for a presentation, and we'll sure accommodate that if someone wants to do all that work.
We have no business before us right now, but it's kind of social time for the committee. Representative Detmer, you have your hand up as well. Would you like to join in this discussion? We do have one more amendment that we're going to get to in short order, Representative Madison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, it might be helpful for some of us newer members if we could have a copy of our rules so that when we do work on some of these amendments that we could refer to the rules. Unless everybody has memorized them, which I haven't, it would be very helpful to have a copy in our packet. Thank you.
So we can provide that. I will let you know that the amendment that we're going to take up doesn't have anything. It's separate outside of the rules, but that's a good point. We'll get them to you. We're still, I think, in the process and just finish up the printing the new batch of them, so we'll make sure they're available to you. That's from Westrum.
Chair, if this is redundant, I can talk to you off the committee time, but with the new rule going in and setting time limits, do you foresee setting time limits on every bill that gets put on the calendar, or how do you foresee that being used down the road every time we set 2 or 5 or 25 bills on the calendar? Is everyone going to have an estimated time limit on it?
Grantson Westrom, and you did arrive a little bit later. We did address this today as well on bills. Going into this, I thought having a more liberal process of setting aggregate limits was going to be useful. Received some questions, mostly from your side of the aisle on the floor, about that being problematic to them, so we've tightened that down to, yes, every bill will receive a time limit. We did do that earlier today on bills, and we did that last week in rules as well. So we did set time parameters for the two bills on the calendar for the day, both receiving 45 minutes.
So
that's in Westrom.
Mr. Chair, follow up on aggregate. What you mean, if the first bill only used 15 minutes, the second one could potentially have an hour and 15 minutes? That would be the aggregate model?
That's in Westrom. The way we operated the first week was an aggregate for the floor. Three bills would take up actually 3 hours of the 2 days of session, both Monday and Thursday, but we're speaking hypotheticals now because we're giving time parameters to every individual bill. We are past that order of business. If you want to speak more about this, I'd appreciate to do that offline, because I know members have a meeting at 12:30 as well, but I'd be happy to continue the discussion with you offline.
All right.
If you'd like. Rexman Anderson, you've been waiting patiently, and we want to finish up our agenda for the day here in our time allowed. For the sake of getting the conversation, I will move the PM Rules 41 before the body for discussion. Rexman Anderson, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you. It's my first time here. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you guys recall from the discussion that we had on February 12th, what this amendment would do, they basically say that housing and per diem during a special session would not be paid. It's an effort in showing good faith that we as a legislature want to help out in addressing this budget shortfall that we have, and that's the reason it's put forth.
Okay. I have a question, first and foremost, Representative Anderson. The housing allowance right now is done on a basis where many members, actually to save money, have taken out a lease. And it's not year-round anymore for two sessions. It's only for the first until the end of the second session. I don't know how your amendment would interact with that, because those leases are already signed, and I know in some instances members have talked to me about potential penalties of breaking leases. So right now, all of that money is factored in already to the budget and committed in many instances contractually. Do you know how your proposed amendment would affect that?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I'm very open to amending that portion of the amendment, recognizing that when it comes to lodging, people have signed leases. So I'm certainly welcome to ideas that you have in making that a better solution for us, so that we don't wind up costing ourselves more than we do in saving of it. I think when we're talking about the lodging, there is another portion, though, in our house rules that are Speaker Kelleher has spoken that members that have to stay overnight for a night, they're allowed to have housing at a hotel, for a one-night deal type thing. And I think that's the piece of the housing portion that we could eliminate without causing further problems.
Mr. Anderson, I believe that is not just this speaker, but previous speakers. That's mostly for members of the metropolitan area, so that if we have inclement weather, snowstorms, if you will, to give members the opportunity to stay nearby, so that they are protected and safe. So I don't know if that issue is addressed in your amendment, because you're talking about special sessions here. Generally, that commitment is made during this time of the year when we're in session, when it's snowing. If it's snowing again and we're still in special session for this budget, we're in deep trouble.
I realize that, and thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess the reason why I bring that up is, Representative Rukavina, in the committee that I serve on with him in higher education, has on several occasions mentioned December as a special session possibility. So in looking ahead to that, if that were the case, that's the piece that I would like to see eliminated.
All right. Representative Carlson.
Which everybody knows, I'm not so I'm not impacted. If this were to be adopted, that we relative to the the housing part of it, because one thing that we've tried to do in this committee when we've talked about things like housing is bring about some equity between people who would come in from greater Minnesota and those of us that are fortunate enough to be able to go home at night because we are residents of the metropolitan area. And so I think that this amendment, if it were adopted, would be very unfair to virtually all of our rural members who would have to come down here and serve during a special session if that were to happen. So I would argue that it's probably not a good thing to do just from the standpoint of fairness to all the members of the Minnesota House.
Any further discussion?
Yes,
Mr. Detmer.
Just a brief, you know, in the past, how long have special sessions gone in the past, say in the last 10 years?
Senator Detmer, it depends. We've had special sessions on floods and budget special sessions that have literally lasted a day or two. We've also, the governor, I believe, back in 2005, called a special session at midnight of the last day, and it drug on for quite a while. So there is really no set timeline on that, and I don't think you'll be doing that again, if I had to guess, with the makeup of the legislature this time around, but there is no set time, and we're at the mercy of the governor of when a special session would be called.
Yeah.
Mr. Westrom.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, are you suggesting that maybe we'd have to adopt the legislator? I mean, we've got Metro colleagues each taking in a rural colleague. Is that a feasible solution?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Weston. You are always welcome in my home, as is everyone that is here today. I have a double bed, I have a twin bed, I have an air mattress, and I have a sofa. So if you're ever caught and can't get home, you can certainly stay at my home. I know there's several other lawmakers that have mentioned that their home is open to any fellow member if they need some housing. I think when it comes to this issue overall, you know, it wasn't too long ago, I think it was just 2006, that's when we actually extended the lodging. Up until that point, rural lawmakers didn't have lodging reimbursement for the entire year. It was only for when we were in session. So I think at the minimum, we should at least go back to that standard in order to save some money for the state and for the citizens of Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. I would, again, you know, I live very close, 14 miles from here, and, you know, kind of going off what Lynn Carlson, Representative Carlson said, I just, you know, I don't want to see my, you know, thinking big state picture. I don't want my state representatives moving in and out of a building, throwing their stuff, kind of like college days, throwing it in the back of their car and bringing it home, and then where do they come, you know? I mean, I want them spending time legislating down here when they're a city, so I'm a little uncomfortable with that, and moving in and out and signing, you know, finding housing, you know, if they have a special session or a special meeting, or just doesn't seem like the best use of our state legislators' time. And yeah, there's some money, but I don't think it adds up to really be that much, and I think overall the state's much better served by having these folks, you know, ready and able to work in a, you know. Anyways, that's my opinion, living real close, and they all pay a different price than we pay where we can get home and that sort of thing. Although, your offer, are you a good cook?
You don't have to answer that question.
You have nothing to worry
about. She did say on the record, members, I heard it, and I think the tape will pick it up. Meals were not included in that offer, just so you know. This is Denver.
Mr. Chairman, and I want to go on record that my wife and I would take in Representative Rick Davina.
Can I have a crib?
Yeah.
A bassinet will do.
he loves to visit our disabled veterans camp. Yeah, Big Green Lake. So.
Any further discussion? I'm afraid to call on you, but Representative Dill.
Well, if meals aren't included, Mr. Chair, then I think that makes a strong case for per diem payments then for the members if they're not going to include meals in the lodging package.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, and the motion is before us for PM Rules 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Members, that takes care of the two changes that members brought forth to me. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to ask, we had discussion on the floor in regard to the press access, and you said that the press access was covered by the sergeant's office, and is the online media allowed to come onto the floor, or for those who are confused, would Ms. Dickey want to just let us know if all the press passes are taken, or what the process is for that?
Representative Sacker, we're developing a policy, and I pledged to work with Representative Smith on this. He's
okay.
The maker of the original motion. I had a brief discussion with him after
okay.
that hearing, and we're going to be working on a policy as new media. We need to get to resolution on this sooner rather than later, and so I'm hopeful that Representative Smith and I will be coming forward to the Rules Committee with a process moving forward. And soon.
Very good.
Second yes. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, could you clarify for me for your process as far as letting the members of the Rules Committee know how far in advance we can bring these amendments here? I just found out shortly before committee today, and maybe it's my mistake or my LA's mistake for not letting me know, but I was hoping to bring one of the amendments that were brought to the floor by Representative Smith to the committee. I'm just wondering what your process is in doing this.
Well, every member of the Rules Committee, when we were discussing the rules originally, had every opportunity to offer amendments. When we did that earlier this month, we reached out to the author, the makers of the motions and amendments earlier, or last week actually, and that we were going to be having this meeting today, and asked the four members who had these amendments if they wanted them heard. Representative Anderson and Representative Holberg responded in the affirmative, and the other two, Representative Smith, actually responded in the negative, that they did not want them to come forward. So at that point, it wasn't for me to search out if any other member wanted to offer on their behalf. They both responded in the negative that they wanted it brought forward. So that was the rationale I went with, was when those members did not want to bring their motions to the committee, we moved on.
So, Mr. Chair,
Justin Anderson.
Mr. Chair, is it possible to reintroduce or admit that those amendments that were not picked up by Representative Smith or Representative Gottwald, could we reintroduce them at a later time?
I'm certainly open to having discussions with Representative Gottwald and Smith on that.
Okay.
And if they change their minds, we'll have to have that discussion later.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.